Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Let's go. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This message is a prophetic one. Let's title it Financial Turnaround. Financial Turnaround. Lord, in Jesus' name, we receive revelation. You know each person's situation. And we ask, Heavenly Father, open our eyes. In Jesus' name. Okay? So if you read 2 Kings chapter 6, there had been a famine. There had been economic crisis in the country. Until they ran out of food completely. They begin to eat the animals. When they ran out of livestock, then it got so bad. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 women agreed to eat their children. They ate the first one, and then when it was the turn of the second one, the woman couldn't bear it. The king was walking on the wall, and the woman whose child had been eaten screamed out, "Help, O king." The king said, "How can I help you if God does not help you?" So it's not always that government has a solution. Sometimes it goes beyond the government. King said, "How will I be able to help you? Except God helps you in this situation." Okay? Anyway, the important thing is that nothing changed until God's word came on the scene. God's word intervened. God has given us a little bit of wisdom in this house, a little bit of insights when it comes to the issue of financial increase. I just want to remind us, as Christians, we must lift our thinking about finances higher than the world system wants us to think. We belong to a system. God's government, God's system. When you function, when you know how to function in God's system, you know how to operate God's system, the things that can hinder or oppress the average person around can't hinder you. Just look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at his disciples and look at the patterns that they set for us. Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter says, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I will give you." Amazing. Why? Because money is only a store of value. We've discussed before the fact that money has not always been in existence. Man created money to represent the value of products and services. Money is only a means of exchange of value. People exchanged goods before, exchanged services. When it became cumbersome to carry out transactions, then they created money to represent the value that they would have passed on to someone else. So the real money is value. Very important. Now, we know that the most powerful store of value on this planet is revelation. The most powerful store of value is revelation. So, if because you don't have the paper or you don't have the coins, you call yourself poor, it's a lack of understanding that causes that. And for us, when you have revelation, you have value. That's why they could say, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I have something. When they tested Jesus over money issues, he said, bring the money. Whose image is on this money? They said, Caesar. He said, fine, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. These are two different systems. When I need money, I use money. But some other times, I choose not to use money. He wanted to feed the crowd in John chapter 6. Verse 5 said that he said to Philip, where will we get bread for all these people to eat? Philip's brain went straight to money. But when he looked at the money was not sufficient. So he came back and said, sir, even 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough to feed all these people, even if we give each one a little. But the Bible had said there in verse 6, this he said to test him, because he knew within himself what he was going to do. Amazing. And then Andrew comes and says, there's a boy here, he has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring them. Gives thanks and feeds the crowd without money. So that's part of what we were saying, you know, that if because you lack money you call yourself poor, you lied, especially as a Christian. Because 2 Corinthians 8:9 says you are rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. On the cross, there was a work of substitution. Jesus took your place so you could take his place. He took sin and all the consequences of sin, took all the sicknesses and diseases, and took your poverty on that cross. So there's no poverty left. So we're saying on Wednesday, you call yourself poor, you lied, as a Christian. But this is important. This is very important. What revelation will do is it will first change you before it will change your circumstances. That's why it's critical as a Christian. If God wants to give you anything, he will give you the revelation of it, because revelation is convertible currency. Because John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. But Acts chapter 20 verse 32 says, and I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. God's word will change you first before giving you the material equivalent of what belongs to you. God's word will change you. This is important. Who you are determines how you see. Once you believe you are rich, you will see abundance, even in the midst of crisis. Once you believe you are poor, I'm telling you, if they throw you inside a tank of money, you will see scarcity. Who you are determines how you see. What an ant calls a mountain, a human being will call a pebble. It is who they are that determines how they see. That's why God said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. So what you call a problem, God calls an opportunity. It's not an issue. Sincerely speaking, when it comes to money issues, that is the reality. What the billionaire looks at and sees as massive opportunity to get money is the same situation that is destroying other people. Same thing. Life is about interpretation. I tell people, life is not fixed, it's how you see it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? What is the interpretation of the financial crisis to you? Who is like a wise man? Who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face is changed. Ecclesiastes 8:1. It's interpretation. Numbers 13, God brought Israel out of Egypt with power. The Bible says that he brought them forth with silver and with gold, and there was none feeble among all their tribes. Psalm 105, verse 37. Rich. They got to the border of Canaan, Numbers 13, And the Bible says they broke into two camps. 12 leaders sent to spy out the land of promise, and they come back with two different reports. And they were looking at the same thing. Isn't that amazing? They were looking at the same thing. You don't see things the way they are. You see things the way you are. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Why are you focused?" He said, "Judge not so that you will not be judged. For with the same measure that you judge, it will be measured back to you." He said, "Why are you bothered about the speck in your brother's eye when there is a stick coming out of your own eye?" He used the word log, an electric pole. He's sticking out of your eye. He said, "You are bothered about the speck in your brother's eye." He said, "Take out the log in your eye, then you will be able to see to remove the speck in your brother's eye." There's tremendous wisdom in that. What's Jesus saying? You think that your brother has a big problem. Jesus said it is your problem that is making you to see the problem as big. He used two different words. He said, "Why are you concerned about the speck?" That's what he called it, speck. "In your brother's eye, when there's a log coming out of your own eye." What is in your eye is distorting your lens or your lenses to the extent that you are seeing what is in your brother's eye as big. It's not as big as you think. Remove what is distorting your lenses. You will see the other person's problem correctly. You don't see things the way they are. You see things the way you are. So if it is poverty you are seeing, that's because that's who you are. Once you believe that you are poor, so you see how dangerous it is to grow up in a poor country and in a poor family. Because you derive your sense of identity. That's where a child starts from the family. So once it is sunk down, you know we are not rich. You know we are poor. So when you come to church and then you still go home with that mindset, then there's a big problem. So even if we got that from family, this is a new family. This is a new family. Ephesians 3:14. "For this cause I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." I'm now in the same family with Apostle Paul, with Peter, with James and John. Same family with Jesus as firstborn. Isn't it amazing? A lot of the language that we use in church now, especially in this part of the world, is dangerous. Dangerous and destructive. We make too much deal about ancestral curses. And I say, wait, which ancestry are you referring to? Because you are superimposing your natural ancestry on your spiritual ancestry. And you have a new ancestry now. You have a new ancestry now. And your new daddy does not have curses to pass down to his children. Only blessings. I have ancestral blessing. Too much consciousness of your natural identity will get you grounded. Get you grounded. When you gave your life to Christ, you didn't just accept religion. You experienced a change of nature. That's why it's a miracle. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new species. All things have passed away. Let them pass away. Don't go and recover them or retrieve them. Very critical. Identity. So when revelation comes, because whatever God calls anything, that's what it is. Am I right? So whatever God calls anyone, that's what the person is. So if the Bible says that Jesus took your poverty so that you through his poverty might become rich, why call yourself anything less? I am who God says I am. That's where it starts from. Anyway, Elisha, the prophet, introduces God's revelation into the scenario. "Thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow." Things would have changed. The price of foodstuff would have crashed. So spiritually, things changed. There was a man there, if you read further in 2 Kings 7, they said he was a lord on whose hand the king leaned. He said, prophet, even if God was to open the windows of heaven, you think this thing could ever come to pass? So maybe he was minister for finance or senior special assistant on economic affairs. He said, pastor, this is not your business. Prophet, face it, mind your business. This is economics, where I have a PhD. You know, these days when we speak about issues, people think it's not our business. When we speak into politics, they think it's not our business. Last week, I did a series of tweets on the future of the economy of this country. I started with the first one was on the stamp duty. Very interesting. So you transfer 1,000 naira to me, they take 50 naira. They say stamp duty. And they passed that thing into law, we didn't even know when. Stamp duty. Stamp for what? For sending money from here to here. It made sense, or it seemed to, maybe when they passed the law. But now that I took my phone and transferred money from my account to yours, where is the stamp? What did you do? Rent-seeking system. Impoverishing the poor. Because if I receive 500 million naira, they'll take 50 naira. The poor man that received 1,000, they take 50 naira. Is that fair? Don't answer, don't answer. Sorry, I'm just asking. Just asking myself. But they think it's not our business. Like the policeman who stopped us on the way, on the expressway many years ago. When he saw I was in the car, said I should please roll down my window. I did. Then he asked. That was many years ago. He said, pastor, those economic principles that you're teaching on radio, do you think it's the business of a pastor to be teaching things like that? I said, sir, I've experienced poverty in this country before. There are things I discovered. My life changed, as you can see. So, do you think it is wrong for me to teach those things that I discovered to other Nigerians that are poor? I said, you can go. That was the end of the discussion. It's like one of us did a magazine interview for me that is out now on sale. So they picked one of the things I said, any religion that does not change your thinking is useless. So God introduced, gives you revelation. So this season, I'll tell you, one word I've been hearing has been billionaires, billionaires, billionaires. I don't know why. That's why my teaching this morning is not very structured, because it's a prophetic operation. So Elisha spoke. And then nothing happened till they crossed over to the next day. See, when God speaks, things change spiritually. But for anything to change in the physical, you must act on what God said. So the question was, who was going to act? Then the Bible tells us there were four lepers at the gate of Samaria who were having a discussion. Said, why should we stay here till we die? If we go back to the city, there's famine there. We will die. The only place we could go is forward, but the enemies are there. The camp of the enemy is there. But that's the only place where there is food. So if God favors us, they will give us food. If not, we will die. But at least that's the only place where there is the possibility of us eating. So they moved in the direction of the camp, the enemy's camp. That was all God needed. I'll tell you something. The solution didn't come from the king. The solution didn't come from the elite or the ruling class. The solution came through lepers. As they shuffled, took those small steps, having lost their toes and their fingers, you know, shuffled, that was all God needed. Just some action. Because faith is acting on God's word. If you don't do it, you don't believe it. If you believe it, you will do it. It was like angels put some microphones close to their feet and put the loudspeakers at the enemy's camp. Those guys had the loud noise. It was like a large army was rushing at them. They say, they've gone to hire the armies of other countries. They were hearing the noises of horses and chariots. So they took off. They didn't wait to take anything. They ran away. They left food. They left money. They left their weapons. They, like the Bible describes it, the clothes, everything was thrown all over the road. They ran, took off. And it was lepers. This season, as you act on what God shows you and tells you to do, your little effort will create terror for the devil. Yeah. When they got to the enemy's camp, they met nobody. They said, it's a trick. They saw us coming. They're hiding. What God will do in your life this season will surprise you. Yeah. Yeah. I know. One of the major reasons why people don't get miracles a lot of the time is because of complex thinking. Having gone through hardship, having tried it before 20 times, it didn't work. The assumption is the next time it will still be difficult. God will surprise you. Yeah. I've experienced this, so I know. When grace is working, you get what you could not have worked for. Yeah, that's when it is grace, because grace is from Greek. Charis is gift. This season, things will happen beyond the power of your connection, beyond the capacity of your education, beyond the capacity of your skills, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Four lepers. Listen, if you have economic crisis, it's not because there is scarcity. There will never be scarcity on this planet. Never. You must never believe it. As a Christian, that's why if there's no scarcity inside you, you won't see scarcity outside. There's abundance everywhere. If you see scarcity anywhere, it's because of greed. It's because of manipulation or idolatry. There's no scarcity anywhere. So what God does is to use a time of financial crisis to create new millionaires and new billionaires. I'm serious. That's what happens. He uses it to transfer wealth. That's what God does during times of crisis. That's what's happening now. God is creating new millionaires and new billionaires. Four lepers. They entered the first tent, packed the things that were there, checked the second tent, everything was there. The third one said, hello, this is beyond what we can handle. Obviously, this is not about us. It's about everybody. If you keep quiet on a day like this, evil will happen to us. And so that's where I must warn. If you don't kill greed, wealth will kill you. That's the reason why the wealthiest people in the world right now are giving away their wealth. That's the reason why it will kill you. You have a sense that your life is too small to be the purpose of your life. To be the purpose of all the... Once God gives you things that are beyond your capacity, wisdom should tell you it's not only about you. You remember the poor. You remember God's work. You kill greed through giving. The dimension of wealth that God wants to release, you need to be a heavy giver to not go crazy. Yeah, let me remind you. When money comes, it empowers you to do things you could not do before, both good and evil. There are bad things you have potential to do that you have not done, not because you are holy, but because you could not afford them. Let me remind you. Just hear what some men tell their wives. Okay, I'm the one you are talking to like that? I'm the one you are speaking to like that? Okay, now. I know it's because I don't have money. Just wait, let my money come. So sometimes God says, hey, angels, hold this money. This guy will kill someone if he gets that money. Hold it. Develop money management skills. If you spend more than you earn, even if you get $1 trillion, you will be broke. Cultivate the habits of billionaires. They don't spend all their money, sir. They save, they invest. Develop sophisticated money management skills. Learn how to manage people. This season, there's a need, there will be a need to diversify, because God will create opportunities in businesses you never did before. Areas you never worked in before, the opportunities are coming. It's a season for flexibility and diversification. Amen. But one thing, you will need to know how to build systems and manage them, and you will need to know how to hire people. Because some of us will have to hire 250, 500, 1,000 people this season. And finally, let me say this. When it comes to that taking action, you know it is risk-taking. Because that was what those lepers did. They took risks. So how do you become a billionaire if you are not willing to take risks? Not crazy risks, but this is a risk on what God said. That's faith. Faith is a business of risk. Someone says, what if it doesn't work out? That's what makes it a risk. But you, if it's revelation you are asking on, acting on, what God told you, then you are not asking the right question. If it's God that told you to do it, the question to ask is, what if it works out? Amen. One of the major reasons why people fail is the fear of failure. I teach people how to succeed. Fear of failure makes more people to fail than anything else. Fear, do it. Don't die before it's time to die. Do it. If those lepers stayed where they were, they would have died. There is no future where you are presently now. There's no future there. So if we go back to the city, we will die. There's no future in your past. Because for some people, once things change, things go down, they lose their current blessing. It will be, in the good old days. That's nonsense. The good future days will be better than the good old days and the good present days. Look forward. Take new risks. What if I try and it doesn't work out? Try again. I'll tell you what makes billionaires: persistence. Persistence. And they know how to handle failure. They are fast learners. They make failure their friend. There is no trying without mistakes. If the people who invented the light, invented the microphone, invented the speaker, invented the camera, if they gave up the first time they tried because it didn't work, nobody would have invented anything. Yeah. If you are going to create anything, invent anything, achieve anything, it won't work out some of the time. There's a project I started 7 years ago. It's not worked out the way I want yet. I'm still on it because it was God that told me to do it. I had a billionaire say that there was a project he pursued trying to get approval and so on. It was 17 years before the approval was given. Then he asked the question, how many people do you know that will stay on a project for 17 years before they see it come to pass? He said, that's why billionaires are few. Don't give up easily. Anyway, welcome to your next level. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the heavens are opened over you. This season, receive open eyes, amen. Open ears. Amen. The revelation comes to you now. Amen. Revelation comes to you now. Amen. The Holy Ghost engages your mind, amen. Engages your imagination, amen. Engages your heart. Amen. You will know what to do. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I prophesy as you act on God's word, doors of opportunity open for you. This is a prophetic word. The season has changed. The days of delay are over for someone. I prophesy this season, someone will remember you. It will come easier than you think. This week, someone will mention your name to someone somewhere. Someone will, your document that they forgot, the proposal a long time ago, the application, heaven will bring it to somebody's attention now. It's a season for transfer of wealth. Take the talent from him, they said. The guy who can manage it well, give it to the man that has 10. So I prophesy in Jesus' name, heaven will direct resources in your direction. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person in this service who says, Pastor, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My relationship with God is not okay. That's where it starts from. Sin is man's greatest problem. Sin is man's greatest problem, and sin distorts your person, not just your view or your actions, but your person. Sin is not just an action, it's a nature. When we accept forgiveness from Jesus, God removes the nature of sin and puts his own nature there. If you're the honest person who says, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay, I want God to forgive me. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I want us to say a short prayer together. The prayer I said many years ago changed my life entirely. Changed, and once I got God's nature, changed the way I see the world. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. You didn't come to this service by accident. God brought you here. It's a destiny-changing moment. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. If Jesus comes now, or you die, God forbid, you appear before God, you are not absolutely sure you will make heaven, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, can you please put your hand on your heart? God bless you for your honesty. Beautiful moment. Nothing to be ashamed about. Every human being born a sinner. But someday, you need to make up your mind. Successful people make up their mind. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for our brothers and sisters, and thank you because their sins are forgiven. Teach them to know you. Teach them to love you. Teach them to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.